Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi, folks. I'm Jolene Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio with my co-host,
Tom Bajur. Good to be with you, Jolene.
Yes, Tom. And we have a very important topic we're going to be talking about today. It is regarding suicide, and especially with veterans. And our guest today is Dr. Todd Burnett from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, where he serves as subject matter expert in suicide prevention. Welcome, Dr. Burnett.
Thank you, Tom and Jelaine. It's a pleasure to be with you both.
Okay. And just to let our listeners know, you are in the Washington, D.C. area, or that's where the Veterans Affair is, but where do you preside?
That's right. I actually live in Tennessee, but I work for an office there in Washington, D.C.
Okay. All right. And Tom, this is a very important topic.
It's a very sobering topic, and it has very significant implications, and there is hope in dealing with this particular issue, and that's why we're here today. We're here to, this program will be aired at different times, but particularly on Veterans Day. So we're really thanking them for their service, and we're extending a hand of appreciation and help.
That's right. Well, Tom, why don't you have a word of prayer before we begin?
Our great Heavenly Father, you are so good and gracious. You are our hope and our salvation.
Amen.
And Lord, but in our human condition, at times we become helpless, hopeless. But sometimes that is a perception. And Lord, help us so that we can look to hope and look to solutions, to be either the solution or to receive gladly that help. And whether you're a veteran or a person of the general public, you are all important, and God loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, you know, the last few years have been a journey in post-pandemic, post-housing crisis, post-everything else that seems to have been impacted. According to a CDC report released in February of this year, after a couple years of modest declines, death by suicide rates have also returned to pre-pandemic highs. Today, we want to take stock of where we are and, more importantly, what we all can do to make a difference. Knowing what to look for, how to help, can save a life, save a family, and change the future of an entire community. So, Dr. Burnett, first off, we've already announced this regarding suicide. What is suicide?
Thanks, Jillian, for the question. So, what drives suicide for any individual may be a little bit different. Of course, the biggest driver overall for it is people feeling hopeless or helpless in many cases. I suspect just about everyone knows someone whose life has been impacted by suicide. So for anyone who's listening, what I want you to know first and foremost is that there's hope.
Amen. That's
whatever
right.
You may be facing, whatever you may be facing, there is a way through. For the family, friends, neighbors of someone who might be going through a difficult season in their life right now, what I want you to hear is that you have a team. That team can only help if you get them off the sideline, if you give them a call. So if you're a veteran or a family member of a veteran or a friend, dial 988, then press 1. If you prefer to reach out through text, you can send a text to 838-255. Or if you're online, you can chat through the veterancrisisline.net/chat.
You want to repeat that. Now, the 988, is that something new? Because, I mean, everybody knows 911.
It is. And so the 988 was launched nationally as the crisis line number. And on that crisis line number, there is a specific hotline or line for veterans and their friends or family members. So if they dial 988, then press 1. That's for veterans. Okay. There's also an option for text. And so the text number is 838-255. There's also an online chat option for people who may have access to a computer or would prefer to go that route through the crisis line. They just go to veterancrisisline.net/chat, and they can access those resources that way as well.
So let me ask you, because there's some statistics about, you know, how many people died by suicide, you know, several years back compared to recently. Why is there an upswing in suicide?
Yeah, thank you for such an important question for asking that. When people look at suicide rates, and what you're referring to is a change in suicide rates that's been pretty dramatic over the last 15 years or so. If you look at 2005, about 84, 85 people on average died by suicide per day. And as of a couple of years ago, that's jumped to 130. The reasons may be different for anyone. It could be financial stress. It could be depression or anxiety or any of a number of reasons that someone might feel hopeless or helpless.
And that this isn't just veterans. I mean, this is the statistics are overall here in the United States, right?
That's correct. Of those 100 and approximately 30 a day, about 17 of those are veterans. So this is a challenge that everybody is facing, veteran or non-veteran alike. And a lot of the things that veterans are facing as challenges are no different than what everyone else is facing. Whether it's family distress or relationships or job challenges or any of a number of things, veterans are just as prone to those stressors as anyone else. There are some differences in how veterans tend to handle those challenges than other U.S. adults, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, veterans, they want to help people. That's why they're veterans. You know, they served their country, which was a very honorable thing to do, and they want to help. But sometimes they have a hard time asking for help.
That can be true. So there are almost 20 million veterans across the nation, and the challenges they face, as I said, may be jobs, relationships, family issues, health, or anything else. The important thing that I want people to keep in mind, because the narrative around veteran suicide is riddled with all kinds of myths that really aren't helpful. Like the myth that most veterans have post-traumatic stress, or that every person who struggles with bouts of depression or anxiety or has challenges with substance abuse or is dealing with pain, that they're all suicidal. That is no more true for veterans than it is for anyone else. What's more helpful is to look at what the unique challenges are that the individual is facing and how they see their options for moving forward. The risks that are biggest for veterans, or for any individual, if you're not a veteran and you're listening to this, is how does someone think of what their options are for dealing with the situations that are right in front of them? And when you're feeling overwhelmed, sometimes people can't see a way forward. They don't recognize. So they don't recognize what their options are. Julian, I'll give you some information that may be helpful to keep this in perspective for people. Most people who make an attempt, there are less than 5 minutes from the time that they have a stressor to taking an action. And for about 70%, almost 75% of people, that crisis lasts less than 60 minutes. If we can create time to allow people's feelings to settle, for them to get a little bit more perspective on what their options are to move forward, we can save lives. But for those of you who might own a firearm, I want you to go to our site at keepitsecure.net. On that site, we have resources to help ensure that in those moments when our decision-making may not be at its best, that we don't have access to firearms that are unsecured. You'll see all kinds of resources there to help people navigate whatever their challenge might be. There are also connections to people who can support you through whatever it may be that you're facing. A family member, a friend, a veteran, or just someone in the community who needs help, please take a look at keepitsecure.net. We have all kinds of resources that can help you make the connection.
One of the things that I heard you say, Dr. Burnett, is that the person who's at risk of suicide, they almost need to have a strategy to avoid doing the wrong thing. When you're in great distress, you need to put barriers or do certain steps, and it needs to be planned ahead of time in a positive way. Is that what you were saying?
That's exactly right, Tom. So many of these situations can be avoided with a little bit of pre-planning. So if we take some steps to secure firearms, especially firearms, in advance of those crisis moments, or when you see someone that's escalating and heading towards a crisis, we want to create time and space there to allow things to settle and not get into situations where we, in the heat of a moment, take an action that costs a life. That's something we can all do together, Tom. Suicide is preventable, and when we work together, we can make a huge, huge difference. I really appreciate that you opened this discussion with prayer. What came to mind for me is when Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow, it says, to the point of death in Matthew 26, he gathered his support network together in providing guidance to friends that were despairing from challenges that they were facing and feeling overwhelmed and hopeless. Peter encouraged them to stand firm as a family of support. It's good counsel that's been around a long time, and it's still accurate for anyone that's listening today. We are far better together. So for anyone out there looking for help, if you're not sure where to look, we have incredible teams across this nation that are ready to help you. Just put it in your phone. The Veteran Crisis Line number is 980, and then press 1 if you're a veteran. You can call your VA Medical Center or Community Outreach Clinic or a nearest hospital to you. You can go to our Don't Wait reach out site, which is www.va.gov/reach, and you'll find resources to help get you started, whatever your challenge may be.
You know, Dr. Burnett, what I'm hearing you say, that we, those who are out, there's the person who is impacted by the depression and is at risk, and then you have everybody else. Those everybody else, what role can we play? And I want to think about this. I've been through CPR classes and how to use these electronic paddle devices to help train. Should many or all of us have an awareness in training so that when it happens, we already know what the script is, the procedures, the protocols in order to save somebody's life?
That's such a great question, Tom. When you're the family member or a friend and you know someone who is feeling overwhelmed or might be suicidal, that can be an overwhelming feeling just for them. And they oftentimes may not know where to turn or what to do, and they may feel unequipped to help. I want to encourage everybody who's listening, you don't have to be a mental health professional. You don't have to be a trained first responder. You just have to be willing to engage someone who's at risk and offer support. And so some of the resources that I'm sharing with you here are for you. If you're listening right now and you've got someone that you know in your life who needs help, keep these resources that I'm sharing handy, or look them up before you get to a moment of crisis so you'll know how to forward something.
Why don't you repeat that? I know you've repeated the 988, but I don't think we can say it too much. So repeat the resources.
Absolutely. Happy to do that. So for 988, press 1, or you can send a text to 838-255, or you can go to the veterancrisisline.net/chat. Any of those will connect you to a trained responder who's ready to help and listen. There are other resources as well that I've mentioned here. www.va.gov/reach. That has a lot of information on connecting to your local medical center, financial supports, and a whole host of things that can help veterans, their family members, or their communities.
Okay, because that's, you know, when you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't know what to do. But I like it how you were
right.
Telling our listeners, go to these resources ahead of time, look them up, know about them so that you can help somebody when you see that someone is maybe going to be having a crisis, or you're hearing things that they're saying or maybe they're doing. So I really appreciate that. And Tom, I think this 988 is just a wonderful thing that they have started, and we really need to let people understand and know that this is available. Well, folks, we got to take a break, but stay tuned because we have a lot more to talk about with Dr. Burnett. We'll be right back.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button or call 231-468-2087. We thank you and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today with my co-host,
Tom Mazur.
And on the line, Tom, we have Dr. Todd Burnett. And it's Dr. Burnett, I am so thankful you are here and we are doing this interview.
You know, Dr. Burnett, more of us have been touched about this, and we don't share this regularly, but I remember one June morning and getting a phone call from my wife and said that your brother-in-law has shot himself and he's dead. We're touched by these stories. What can we do about this, about these, to prevent such things? What could we have done differently?
Tom, thanks so much for sharing that. And I imagine for most people who are listening, they'll have some similar story in their life, whether it's a family member or a friend, a neighbor, someone they know at church. It's tragic in every circumstance, but there is hope here. There's a lot that we can do. You mentioned that he died by firearm, and that's one of the key things I think people need to understand to make a change. The biggest difference for veterans in their death by suicide rates compared to other non-veteran U.S. adults is what you mentioned, and that's the need for secure firearm storage. Lots of us own firearms. It's a part of our culture, and there are a lot of different reasons people own firearms. It might be for home security, or some people just enjoy hunting or range shooting, being a part of that community, or maybe you're one of the many first-time owners that purchased a firearm during the pandemic, during a period of widespread uncertainty. There are also those who work in situations where firearm knowledge or having some mastery of firearms is expected as a part of their job. And that's nowhere more true than it is with veterans, law enforcement, current members of the military. But just like wearing a seatbelt is a good idea regardless of why you're driving or how far you're driving or how long you've been a driver and how good you are at it, we wear seatbelts because regardless of any of those things, there is a risk of getting hurt there. We believe secure firearm storage is the same and will save lives. Owning a gun is not associated with increasing thoughts of suicide. The problem is that if someone attempts suicide with a firearm, that person is far more likely to die. Suicide attempts with a gun result in death 90% of the time. That's higher than the risk of death from all other methods combined. So for veterans, they use firearms at a rate of 71% of the time that there is an attempt. Veterans make that attempt with a firearm. That is well over 20% higher than with non-veteran adults. And that is a big part of how we need to make a change here. Securing firearms saves lives. And so I want people to be aware of some of the resources that are available to them. You can obtain free gun locks. You can obtain information on where you can access secure storage off-site, or connect with friends or peers who can help secure that firearm for a period of time until things are back on track.
How long does, there's some statistics, and it's mind-boggling that the delay, that barrier, that just the delay is so vital in suicide prevention. Can you spell that out for our audience?
That's correct, Tom. So what you're mentioning there is that the majority of crises or suicidal crises last less than 60 minutes. For most people, they have a period of time where they feel overwhelmed, distressed, their feelings are running hot at the time, and they have access in that kind of altered state to a firearm that's unsecured. If we can just create time and space between that intense moment of risk when we may not be thinking so clear, when we may be feeling helpless or hopeless and not seeing a way forward, and then we have access to an unsecured firearm, if we can create some space between there, we know that we can save lives. So one of the easiest things that we can do is before we get to those moments of crisis is connect with people who can help provide you options for safe storage.
You know, so it makes me think about suicide. I've heard this before, that it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And that's where, like you're saying about, you know, if time to, you know, think about what's going on. And I think most people in their lives at some time, you, like you said, your emotions are hot. We get upset or whatever. And we think about, well, if, you know, I was dead, or if I just committed suicide, then they'd feel sorry or something. But I want to ask you, though, about the veteran suicide, you know, risk. Is there anything that's different about their risk that we need to pay attention to?
There are several things. I'll point out a couple of them. One I mentioned already is that veterans use firearms. They're much more comfortable and familiar with firearms, and they tend to own firearms at much higher rates than non-veteran U.S. adults. So secure storage for those firearms is especially important for veterans. There are also some differences on the drivers of risk for veterans. So what creates a crisis for one person might be totally different for someone else. And if you're a person listening to this conversation right now, and you know of someone, a friend who is a veteran, a peer, or a neighbor, a family member, you have probably the best view of what normal behavior is for that individual. You're probably going to spot when something seems off before others do. There are some things, there are some particular times that can be difficult for veterans. For example, many veterans struggle following a transition out of service. For some, they're excited about the transition and have all kinds of supports and plans in place post-transition out of service. But for a lot of others, that isn't the case. They may experience a loss of community or a loss of identity or feeling a sense of loss if the skills that they have worked for years to master are no longer valued outside the military. For others, the stressors might be financial or just feeling completely isolated or other things like chronic health issues. Sometimes people make the judgment that there is no hope for those things, that their best days are behind them, and that's not true. I want people to know that there's hope, that there is a way forward, that there are people who are ready right now to provide help, whether they're a veteran or they're a family member or just someone in the community who cares about a veteran. Dial 988, press 1, reach out through chat or text or however you need to. We have a team that's ready and available to help.
So I just want to emphasize this: secure your firearms. You're wanting to build that time delay, that 60 minutes delay in that system, and you have resources on that. But we also, and you'll hear this throughout the broadcast, you need to have those numbers, 988, somewhere in the house, just like you've got probably right next to your for the fire department, 911, and all those other numbers. What are three ways that veterans crisis to reach out to those crisis lines?
So you're right. So you can dial 988, then press 1. You can also chat or text. The URL to chat is veterancrisisline.net/chat. And the text number is 838-255.
So, and these are specific for veterans. Is that correct?
988 is a universal crisis line number for anyone. If you then press 1, that is a line that's specifically dedicated to veterans and their families.
Okay. And so going back about securing firearms, like you said, most military people, you know, they're used to it. They were trained using firearms. They have them. Are veterans usually open to securing their firearms, or they want them ready when they don't have to, like, go unlock it or go find it? I guess that's a question I'm wondering.
Sure. So veterans, of course, typically feel much more comfortable with firearms. They've been trained on how to secure firearms and care for those firearms. And so frequently they're going to have many firearms. And none of that puts them at greater risk. The challenge is when those firearms are unsecured. And so in moments where, or at times where we are at increased risk for not thinking clearly or not seeing a path forward, that's what poses a risk, is having access to those unsecured firearms, which is, even veterans will agree, is always a risk. I'll say one other thing here, Jelaine, that's important for everyone to hear. On average, about 17 veterans, so there's 130 U.S. adults on average per day that die by suicide, and of that 130, about 17 are veterans. Of those 17, more than half, or 60%, do not receive services from the VA, which means those are veterans that may be coming to a clinic at the local hospital or the urgent care center in the strip mall near you or wherever it may be. They may be in academic services at a local college near you. So it's important that everyone be aware of these resources, whether you are a veteran or you're a family member of a veteran, or if you're not, if you're just someone in the community, know how to point people towards the supports that they have and where the resources are. Suicide is preventable, and it's especially preventable when we all work together.
So a question I have, you know, when somebody's leaving the military, they're given the resources mm-hmm. to help them, aren't they? I mean, I know we have veterans organizations, and I've heard here in our community in Cadillac, Michigan, that a lot of veterans don't take advantage of, you know, that. But aren't they, you know, mm-hmm. encouraged to do that?
They are encouraged, and when they're leaving service, they have a lot of information that is presented to them, and it can feel a bit overwhelming. And candidly, I think many veterans will tell you when they've left service, they didn't necessarily anticipate the need at the time. There's also another issue that many veterans are concerned that they are going to be a burden, that they don't deserve those services, that they want to keep those open for other people. And I would offer to anyone listening in need of help, on behalf of the incredible teams we have across the nation in the VA and our partnerships with community providers, veteran service organizations, and others, you are why we are here. Please reach out. Let us come alongside you in whatever you're facing. If you have friends, colleagues, if you're a stranger and you come across someone who you think needs a hand, don't wait. Please reach out. Paul's guidance to those facing was to be devoted to one another, honor each other, and be joyful in sharing your hope. That's what we can do. It doesn't take much to save a life. It just takes reaching out.
So when a veteran is, you know, leaving, coming back to civilian life, you know, they have a family, this is important then for friends and family to know these resources for them. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely. And I think Tom's example at the beginning of this conversation, suicide prevention is everyone's business. And suicide prevention, though I'm here talking about veterans, it's for everyone, whether you're a veteran or not. What we're combating is hopelessness and helplessness. There is hope. Our problems are solvable. The skills we need to manage situations, we can help with. We've just got to be able to come alongside of you if you can't see those for yourself. So, yes, everyone listening, the National Crisis Line is 988 for veterans and family members. Press 1, dial 988, then press 1. If you want to text, you can reach us through the numbers that I provided to you earlier. And if you would like that chat information or a website, I'd be happy to give that to you again.
How can veterans do self-maintenance? How can they, maybe on the longer term, set up to avoid that downturn or that low place that often precipitates into such thoughts?
Yeah, Tom, you're speaking about something that we call protective factors. Those are things that we know help people to fight against the challenges that everyone hits in their life. They're things that when they're in place in people's lives, they really help buffer against those stressors. And there's several things that are protective factors, like access to care, knowing how to access care. And for anyone listening, if you will go to our Veteran Crisis Line resource page, that can show you connections, phone numbers to your local VA services or community services. But having access to care is a preventive factor.
So what is that? The veterans, they go online, they can get these resources. Where do they go?
Yes, if they go to our Veteran Crisis Line page, there's a resource tab at the top of that that will link them to any resources that are close to them. Just put in your zip code. It will give you the number for your local VA medical center, and they can help you connect to community resources, providers, anything that you might need.
Okay, and what is the URL again?
The URL to chat is veterancrisisline.net. The 988 number is 988. Press 1. The Don't Wait, Reach Out site is www.va.gov/reach. You'll find a long list of resources that are available to help you connect to resources nearest to you.
Okay, I know we've been saying these quite often, but I just want to make sure our listeners, you know, they'll get it. And so that URL for the veteranscrisisline.net.
It is that whole word, so www.veterancrisisline.net.
So the URL, veteranscrisisline.net, will take you to that website, and then there are resources for those that go there to be able to click on.
That is correct. There is a resources and support page that has a whole host of local resources, information on connecting to other people, veteran support, supports for family members. It's one click away.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, we need to take a quick break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back with more information regarding suicide, and especially we've been talking about veteran suicide. Stay tuned.
Hi folks, Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087. On Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi folks, I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today with my co-host,
Tom Majeur.
And Tom, we have been talking about suicide, and specifically regarding veterans, with Dr. Todd Burnett, who's on the line with us. He's with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. and he serves regarding subject matter expert on suicide prevention. And we've been giving a lot of resources, Dr. Burnett, and which is good, and we'll talk about that again. But what is there something that the veterans can do to help reduce their risk? You know, is there anything they can do to help avoid this crisis?
Absolutely, Jillian. Thank you for asking the question. There are several things that they can do. We know things like being a part of a community, feeling like you are connected to healthcare, know how to access that, having stable employment, having just your basic needs met for food and shelter and parenting supports, all those kinds of things are protective factors. They're just things that are helpful in fighting against suicide. Feeling like they belong to a community is something that is usually very strong in our veteran population and something that we want to keep even after they've left service. So those are all opportunities for us to get involved and promote. There are a few things that are barriers, especially for veterans. People, anyone out there who is seeking help, and I realize that reaching out for support can be hard. One of the biggest barriers is the idea that I shouldn't need help. The stigma around getting treatment or help or support when you're facing challenges. There's several causes for that. Our society has only recently started to become more accepting of seeking out treatment for mental health issues or other issues that we might need help with. And second, when you're in the military, especially seeking help for any issue, let alone what's perceived as a mental health issue, might be frowned on because time away from fellow service members could compromise a mission, and it goes against how our veterans have been trained. So the team mentality that makes the military work so well can actually have a downside once they leave service, and work against them wanting to get treatment.
Yes, Dr. Burnett, I see that that you or the veterans are trained to help others, but not necessarily themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tom. So many veterans struggle with this even after they leave the military. So they mistakenly think that if they call, for example, if they call the veteran crisis line, that they could be labeled in some way. And usually they believe they could be labeled as unemployable. That's not true. Veteran crisis line responders are there to listen, and they're there to help. They don't have access to any veteran records.
So that number is 988, and they press 1, and that goes for veterans. And so just, you know, take us through what happens if they call 988 and press 1.
That's right. Dial 988, then press 1. Some may be concerned that if they call the Veteran Crisis Line that they'll get their firearms taken away. That is not true. As I just mentioned, the Veteran Crisis Line is confidential. You don't even have to give the responder your name if you don't want to. When you're in the military, one of the things that's a part of the veteran's mindset is that they're trained to be selfless and to help others. And our veterans are such a huge strength in our community because they do that. They are often the very first people to step forward when they identify someone who's in need. But frequently, they don't ask for help themselves. So thinking is, if someone feels like they're facing a challenge, many veterans feel like they should just tough that out, that they should just push through, and that's not a good idea. There's grit in that approach. There's strength in those people, but sometimes all of us need a hand. It takes courage to admit when you need help and you're just stuck, and we're understanding that making that call can be difficult, but we're here for you. That's why we're here. We have the help available. You're not going to overwhelm anyone. You're not going to take away from anyone else's access to that help if you give us a call. If you're in need, please reach out. dial 988, then press 1. If you're a family member, a friend, a colleague, there are resources at veterancrisisline.net, and we can get someone near to you to be there.
Are there any other barriers for veterans we haven't covered yet?
I think we've talked on some of the big ones. Veterans should reach out for support before a crisis happens, though we're prepared to help in a crisis. We want to engage far ahead of that point so the veteran doesn't get there in the first place. Some of those barriers go back to being trained to put others before yourselves, and a lot of veterans feel like they shouldn't use resources because someone else might have it worse than them. So again, in case someone's listening and that's a thought that's a barrier for them, first and foremost, all veterans have earned the ability to use the supports that are available to them, no matter how you served or where you served. Second, we're ready to help everyone that needs it. Third, getting help isn't only for you. It's part of you caring for your family, your community, your peers that want to see you succeed. So if you contact the Veteran Crisis Line, you're not taking resources from anybody else. In fact, you're helping others.
So I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they can make a huge difference in someone's life by just showing up or checking in, or, you know, being really, you know, able to listen. And so when it comes to a veteran, what are maybe some do's and don'ts, you know, when we're around them, talking to them?
Yeah, it can be hard to know what to do when you see someone who's in need. People might struggle with feeling like if I ask someone if they need help, am I going to offend them or am I going to make them feel unsteady? And no, just reach out. If you see someone who's in need, the best place to start is by having a conversation with a veteran. I know the thought of having a conversation about a crisis or a suicide risk could be uncomfortable, but it can also save their life. And let me stress, you don't have to be an expert to talk to a veteran facing challenges. You just need to be genuine in expressing your care and concern. So if it's someone that you care about, don't wait. Reach out. If you need help in how to start a conversation, we have resources available for you at veterancrisisline.net. We also have resources on how to start a conversation about secure firearm storage or anything else that might be a challenge you're facing at www.va.gov/reach. And we can connect you to other people who can help.
So if you're talking to someone, you know, and they're maybe starting to open up a little bit, you know, just thinking about being human, we're like, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Or, you know, we need to be careful what we're saying, don't we?
Right, we do. First off, to your point, we want to make supportive and encouraging comments. We want people to feel comfortable in sharing with us what's going on. So the biggest thing you need to communicate is just care and concern. Not judgment, not fear. It's just, I see a struggle. I care enough about you to want to open the door to asking if everything's okay, and maybe where I can just listen so that they don't feel alone. The biggest thing that we're fighting against is the perception that no one cares for some people, or that there's no way to help. And the minute you just engage and listen, sometimes that's the biggest first step that can make a difference. Remind them that you're there for them.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about. You know, we don't know what to say, so we say nothing, which is not good. That's why I just was, you know, wondering what, you know, and me being a woman, my husband tells me all the time, I'm always asking personal questions. And so that's why I'm glad you have some resources maybe to help people know how to start a conversation. And that's what I was saying about, you know, there's do's and don'ts in trying to help someone when you're realizing maybe there's some, you know, challenges that person's facing. And so right. the biggest thing, like you're saying, is they just need to know we care, we're there. We maybe just need to check in with them, you know, and just say, hi, how you doing? And just listen. And, you know, you need to stay on top of this. Because many times we as people get a sense that something's going on in somebody's life and there's a struggle, but we don't know what to do or say. So, yeah, we don't do anything. And that's the worst thing possible. So I'm so glad, you know, Dr. Burnett, you've been sharing here these resources, and especially for veterans, because we hear many things in the news that, you know, veterans get so discouraged and having issues. So I like what you said. The most important thing we can do is, you know, let them know we care and be there for them.
Thanks, Jelaine. And that is the heart of what we want to get across. But I understand often people really would like a script, something to say, to at least get the conversation going. If they're not sure of the words to put out there, let me offer some ideas about how you could approach the conversation if you're someone who's listening right now. The first step is to evaluate if someone is in immediate danger. It sounds, if you see someone that's in distress, ask them how they're doing and listen. And if they start to share with you things that sound like they might be at immediate risk, you can reflect that back and just ask the question. Sometimes when people feel this way, they're thinking about suicide. Is that something that you're thinking about? And if they say yes, when did you first start feeling like this? And did something happen to make you begin thinking along these lines? And then the second here is let them know that you're there for them and that you will help them connect to help. Can we talk for a while? Can we see if there's a way to make you feel safe right now? I may not be able to understand exactly what you're going through, but I care and I want to help you get through this. And so having the resources that we've shared, dial 988, press 1, the chat, the text features, some of the resources that are online, those are all directions that we can help point people to, and we can walk alongside them to get them to a place where they're safe and can get through that immediate challenge.
Well, you know, and our listening audience is, you know, especially all over Michigan, if they're listening on the radio, and a lot of these areas are rural. So there might not be a veterans center for them. That's why it's so important that, you know, they know 988, press 1, that we can share this with them. And you know, address that a little bit, because sometimes, especially veterans living out in the country, you know, feel that there's nobody mm-hmm. to help them.
Right. Thank you for raising that, because I'm sure there's people who might feel that way, that there's no resources near to them. I want you to know that we will get resources to you wherever you are. The VA has resources. We also have telehealth services that we can provide virtually. There are vet centers near you. Congress has passed appropriation laws where a veteran can go to any place that they can access services, whether that's a community hospital or whatever it may be, a community clinic or others that we partner with to make sure services are accessible wherever you might be. You can find those resources at veterancrisisline.net. At the top of the page there, it says resources and supports, and it'll say local resources near you. If you just put in your zip code, it will give you names and numbers of clinics that are nearest to you. You can call them, and they can help you connect to community providers, telehealth services, or other resources. There's a way to get through, and we are ready to provide whatever support you need. Just give us a call.
You know, and I just want to make sure listeners, as well as any veterans listening, you know, our military has all kinds of services available to them. And one time, and sometimes I've heard different veterans, well, they didn't like serve overseas. They weren't in a crisis area. And so maybe, you know, they were stateside just doing paperwork. A veteran is a veteran, and we need all of them, and they're all important. And so I just want to make sure that they realize it doesn't matter how they served, where they served, what they did. They're a veteran, and they're important to all of us. And so, again, I know we've been throughout this time saying these numbers and these resources, but it's so important that listeners know, again, they're not going to walk away from this program and not knowing phone numbers. So let us know this 988. That's a number that anybody can call, not just veterans, correct?
That's correct. So the National Crisis Line is 988. We have a specific line that's dedicated just to veterans and their family members and loved ones. So if they dial 988 and press 1 for veterans, but if you're not a veteran and you are in need of support, just dial 988. There are trained providers, trained responders ready to engage whatever you might need help with. They're ready to listen. That support is completely confidential, so please just give them a call. If you prefer text 838-255. The URL for chat is veterancrisisline.net/chat. If you need resources on secure firearm storage or family supports or financial supports or whatever it may be that is causing distress for you, please go to www.va.gov/reach, and we have a whole bunch of resources that are available for you there. If you would like to speak with a chaplain, for example, we have veterans can visit patientcare.va.gov/chaplain to find and connect with their local chaplain. And there are a number of other resources that are available through the veterancrisisline.net site as well.
Well, I think this is Dr. Burnett. I want to thank you so much for being a part of our program today, that we are intentional, showing our love and support for veterans and their families, and there is a solution and there is hope, and there's people to help you. Thank you for your service, and God bless you.
Thank you for being with us today.
Tom and Jelaine, thank you both, and everyone out there listening. My thoughts and prayers are with you all. Thank you for this time, and please give us a call.
Bye, folks.
Bye now.